Okay. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, February 15th. It is 2 p.m. and we're gathered in the BCC conference room for a general discussion. Present are Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. Our first item up is number one is goal settings. Discuss your 2018 goals and review the BCC projects list. I'm assuming all of you got a projects list.
Yeah, who made this? Okay.
I think it's just
were we supposed to contribute towards it?
I think there are things in here. I think that, like, for instance, Wendy's just been hearing us talk. And
we talked about it.
She's just been writing down whether we actually said to put on this.
You weren't here. We talked about it and she started it.
We've been compiling that, Lily, even things that you've been saying.
Yep.
Just as you guys say, this is something we need to get done. You'll
we'll need your input on
stuff in the hall.
Because I know you've got goals you'd like to put on here.
This is not exactly what I thought was a goals list.
This is project, excuse me.
It's like when we discuss stuff at the admin meeting and, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I walk out of here and
yep.
Did I do it?
Forget about it. Did it get done or is it still in queue?
Did I tell you that it was done or any one of us? And just keeping it going. This is kind of we tried Podio, but that seems really complicated and like from a standpoint if all managers were working on a document together and where is it, how's it progressing, more of like a project thing. This is just a list of things to do almost. So sometimes it takes all of us to jog our memories, like the horse stalls at the fairgrounds. I didn't remember what that meant, but it's the horse, making sure that the horses are
safe and well cared for. Commissioners attending town meetings. In fact, I talked to Mark Dillinger out in Cave Junction and told him I would like a schedule of when their city council meets, and maybe I'll run out there, you know, as I do with City of Grants Pass, poke my head in the door, you know, and sit in on a couple of their meetings. And the marijuana themed events, I don't know where that came from.
So there is some legislation that we talked about that, you know,
it's
going to permit,
like tasting, like Costco, where you walk down the aisle and they have.
This is actually relative to the order.
To the order, okay, all right.
That we were going to pass, that we asked.
Oh, that's right, 004, got it.
Sarah wanted to provide some additional input on. We didn't discuss that at the admin meeting today, but we pulled it from a WBS a week ago.
Yes.
So.
Justice building sculpture or mural.
I just had a thought. Were you at that meeting? There's this big brick wall. I don't know if we need to go through all of these things.
No, we're just
but I just thought it would be a great place to have like a 3D, some sort of a dress up that wall. So I was going to talk to the Arts Council about doing something if they wanted to make a proposal, and I was going to try to find an example. I know that in a lot of big cities they've got like a dragon that's coming in and going out. I just figured it would dress that building up because it's kind of not so attractive.
Do we need to look at the seismic study that was done on the building before we add to it?
The one pager?
Yeah. Get it all up there and they got to take it all off.
Was there a one pager? Did we ever get it?
Oh yeah, Ryan's got a copy. It is one page that
and that's what they justified $2 million building off of?
One page that calls into question those buttresses that come out around the outside, and the fact that those are over some doorways. If it's anything like the Demick Tower, you couldn't get those off in the biggest earthquake. They're not coming off of there. The whole building's coming down before those detach.
Yeah. It may mean just strapping them, like they did some strapping up at Hillcrest and put some buttresses in.
I just want to make sure that if we had to do a seismic retrofit, that we wouldn't hurt the art.
No.
You know? Loud and clear.
And quite honestly, having just spent a week in D.C., I mean, you can't go down the street without seeing a monument of some sort. And
hanging over your head.
Correct. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that there's
built on a mud.
But it is very interesting. I mean, you're on your way to the Capitol, and you're walking through the Capitol, and every corner you see something new. And so
I was hoping we could address my thought was is that we would readdress this every Thursday as part of like board business. And then eventually there should be like a deal that says like date when we need to readdress it, kind of like a...
Kind of like an ongoing thing,
yeah,
just
yeah.
a review of
and
it?
And some things come off, but all ideally you would be able to look at this list in a year and say, wow,
look what we did.
This is all we did.
Yeah.
So
is there any ability of maybe putting the quarterly updates on a Tuesday morning general discussion as far as... To me, we're doing business, we're having, and the staff are sitting here for an hour before we even get to them, where if we did the updates differently, it's not a decision to be made. So
yeah.
just that general discussion update gives us more time to ask questions if we need to delve something through, but then leaves admin to actual work, our decision-making stuff.
Not a bad idea. We've taken off legal, put them on their own. Maybe we structure the admin meeting to where, like, for the first blah, blah, blah is... administrative work, like the first hour, and we don't need them to come in
until 10
o'clock. Second hour.
Yeah.
And
what about a Wednesday afternoon where, you know, we have weekly business session? Is
I have meetings on Wednesday afternoon.
I think I'd rather, I mean, not bifurcates our day anymore. By if I think your suggestion is 100% spot on.
Well, general
we
discussions Tuesday morning aren't always
with a,
agendas.
With a Thursday
okay.
quarterly discussions don't start. And we'd be the ones interrupted. If there's nothing that happens in the first part that fills up that first hour, then we move forward business
mm-hmm.
to that first hour and deal with that. We can't publicly delineate a different time and then move something on an agenda. But if we structure it ourselves internally to say that we're just not going to do, you don't need to show up for your quarterly until, you know,
mm-hmm.
this time. I think we could be more efficient with that, and that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Something. I mean, if that works, if it doesn't, then we maybe look at moving them to a different date. Because honestly, it'd be nice to have some time so that we have more time to have just discussion with our department heads and what's going on with you guys. What, you know, anything we should be focusing on or working on, or hey, how can we work on that project for regional solutions or something, but not on admin where we already have this long
mm-hmm.
agenda. And
okay.
I mean, because
no,
one thing we never know is what you're bringing to us. It's not delineated, so
yeah.
yours
yeah.
can be long, yours can be short. And what if it's long and we already have other stuff?
Yeah.
So
his long things usually get moved to something else, like today, the budget stuff.
Yes,
he does that by design, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His is cyclical, you know. It's here, it's the fees and the budget, which are typical stuff that gets moved to its own meeting in different part. I think your suggestion is very good.
I think, look these projects over.
It's been a struggle for me for 7 years that we have people sitting there, and it's not efficient.
Well, look at the last one 2 weeks ago when Fleet, oh, by the way, you're not going to have time for you today.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. Let's look this over, see if there's some additions you'd like to make.
Yeah,
have.
This list is everybody's
their
list.
Own, just, I think.
Kind of a running working list, which
yeah.
we talked about, having kind of a
yes.
work plan,
yeah.
or what are we tracking?
Well, we're all very spontaneous people, and we pop up with ideas all the time.
This is simple.
Mm-hmm.
We pop up with ideas and little things we'd like to get done, however small they are. You know, it just put them on a list somewhere so we can count them off and say, yeah, we took care of that.
I think also, so I'm crossing off North Valley Industrial Park wastewater treatment. That's not a, these are little things.
Yeah, these
are
just
not monumental
not,
projects.
Not stuff that's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
I want to add that 700 Dimmick. I'll do that up. 700 Dimmick, I want to make sure
yep.
that we're trespassing that.
Yep, that's
on there. And then also getting
on.
Do
you know what's going on with the ramp?
I think he got one bid back on that ramp over there. I think he only got one bid. I think.
But should
the
ramp be on our list?
I would mm-hmm. think so. Yeah, let's put the ramp on there. Dan Basker. Another thing, while I was up there delivering a thank you letter to Julie, on the upstairs where they're going to move Denise at 700 Dimmick, they're going to move Denise upstairs to her own office up there.
Okay.
And all those entrances are recessed back in. We're having homeless up there living in there and urinating and doing everything else underneath those. It looks ideal, but we'll get old facilities to just call like quality fence and just fence that whole thing off with gates at each one of those entrances so people can't get into those little alcoves. It's ugly, but you know, we're and I think it should be on our route if we're going to do the security thing, because, you know, on our route to make sure there's nobody living up there while people are getting ready to go home.
Well, the other question, I mean, it's, I think this is the key of needing a master facilities plan as well, because if we're talking about vacating the entire Dimmitt campus in 2 years.
At some point in time.
Where are we putting building safety planning? Where are we putting public health if we move veterans up there? Because quite frankly, public health was interested in the top floor too as a better, smaller fit. But I like that veterans would get more space. You know, I liked the idea of them going out there by the VA building so they can
have access. I like that even access, better, but, you know, I don't know if that's in their budget. That's probably fairly expensive real estate out there.
I don't know what the cost of a fence is, but it sure looks like blight.
It's not visible by the general passing public.
It'd be on the back side?
It's on the back side.
We've had PD been highlighting that, and they did a good job, but then I think they stopped going back there, and then it...
What I just saw is horrible.
Yeah.
And it's something that we've got to keep them out of those alcove places. I can't blame the homeless people for wanting to be dry, and that's an ideal spot to put them. But if we can keep them from going in there, because it's, I smell like urine because I've been walking in it up there in their carpeted areas.
Sure, that's what you blame it on.
Yeah, well, that's old, you know. My mom was a leaker.
Well, no, I mean, that is a concern.
So it's just,
you know, we've been asked, do we as a county, are we responsible for providing warming centers for, you know, when it's just truly cold or in the smoke? Do we provide a clean air center or a cooling center in the summertime?
You have to stop it somewhere.
I failed to mention I'm here only till about 3
okay,
o'clock.
Okay, let's get moving.
I have this,
so let's look this over.
And I had scheduled a meeting with Kate about this. It's been, they submitted it like on January 24th, and so at some point, that's part of our goals.
And also, we're starting our goals list. What date did we say that we wanted to have all of our goals in? I think it was pretty close to now.
I thought it was today. That's what is on our agenda.
Yeah, I've got.
And we've got the 218 goals in front of us here. Forestry ordinance, chief operation officer position, public relations program.
This is your goals?
Those are.
This is what I got
mine.
Right here.
These are mine.
And this is yours?
These are mine, and I've got more. It's multiple pages.
Okay.
For stuff that
that's on the back of this?
When I'm gone.
You're not leaving. You keep saying
I
that.
I might be
and
gone tomorrow. You don't know.
That's true, and when you do,
you'll have the list, so
that's
my
true.
Work here's done.
But in the meantime, psh, you're not leaving.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the letter that you sent out to the programs, the departments, about the goals? Did you send out requesting those?
I think, did we send out a letter then, Ricky, about goals?
It wasn't very specific. I have it.
Well, I'm just saying, if that had a date, I have only received, I think, 2 of them, forestry and parks. But if we have, if you guys don't, we need to reschedule something, make sure that
it makes
programs
sure
have done
it. Because I think Sheriff set his in.
3 of them, facilities did as well.
So I have my juvenile and my public health. Clerk, you know, her bigger thing is coming up with a software upgrade and stuff, but she's right in the middle of finalizing the January elections, so she's going to be getting hers to me next week.
Well, maybe we just talk about those specific ones. Let's make sure we have them by next week.
Next week, yes.
On Tuesday? What's our general discussion look like that morning? Do you know? Do we have a calendar? And then maybe we could just talk about our goals today.
Just talk about what we have so far.
Yeah, because we can do, we are who we are. We can do our goals.
Do you guys want what I got from the other counties, or do you want me to forward it to the staff so they kind of consolidate?
Let's have them consolidate.
Yeah.
Okay. I got sheriffs too, and I think I don't have Peggy's yet. But because they were
working
on
that. Maybe if we're just discussing our goals, maybe I don't want to presuppose or insert myself, Mr. Chair, But maybe we address Arthur for budget.
Yep. Arthur, come on up, and then you can get back to work while we hash around things. We've got stuff that we need to do too.
Maybe part of what we, you talk about, we could talk about this.
Okay, yeah.
And how we talked about it.
So this is pretty standard annual things. This is a tentative budget calendar. What I've done, this is up to the board as to when we start this process. But I want to start right away as far as notifying the departments as to when the various due dates are for getting their budgets put together, meeting with their liaison to discuss their budgets, finalizing it, getting it to finance. We compile it, we do the mathematical accuracy, make sure that they're using the right numbers for insurance costs and facilities costs and so on and so forth. So we check it for numeric and mathematical accuracy, compile it into the right format, develop the charts and graphs and everything to make it into a nice book, and then, of course, have it available. So you'll notice that the salient part is that I am suggesting or proposing that we have the budget meetings in May and that we adopt, have the budget hearing and adopt the budget in June. So that's the general time frame.
I'll have to look. I've got a May deal in first yes. part of May in California, but I'll get you the exact date on that. I should have that.
And that's exactly what a good yeah. reason to put this here. There's nothing magic about May 1st, 2nd, or 1st, 8th, and 15th. It could be May 8th, 15th, and 24th.
Technically, we don't set the budget schedule. The budget committee does,
yes.
but we provide them an outline about
yes.
what
right.
works for us, and then go from there. So.
And the but with the first meeting, we advertise,
yeah.
and so that's the only one that really has to be set,
and then the committee sets.
Then
the
committee sets
the remaining
the future
dates.
Ones,
okay.
yeah. Yeah, so.
I should have that for you.
Okay. I actually, found out that the kids are coming out in the first week of May, so even though May 1st is a Tuesday, if that's when the budget committee wanted to meet, I'm good with that, and I'll leave on Wednesday and go up see the kids. So. In
Let's
Portland.
Just not talk about when people are here or not here. You're just available or you're not.
Not available, yeah. Oh, here or not here. Well, yes.
You know what I mean?
You betcha.
It's good practice for us just not to
It's a good point.
Advertise. So
I won't be available.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a good idea.
We'll get it done.
You'll be on assignment.
Honestly,
okay.
Everybody, we could probably do everything with anybody
yeah.
who's here. We just can't do it if you're not here.
Well,
you're the one who has to be.
Well, the first budget meeting, but I don't have to be here. I have to present the budget message, but that doesn't mean I have to read it. All it has,
oh,
I can
yeah,
present
yeah.
it in a written format too, or
yeah.
I can have Sandy read it. So
sure,
we'll make
okay.
it work. We'll make it work. So
okay.
whatever works best for you
so
folks,
you just...
since you're half of the budget committee, whatever works best for you folks. Historically, historically we've had it once a week. Typically, it's been either Tuesday or Thursday. Last year, we decided let's move it up to Tuesday, so it's earlier in the week, so that it's not that end of the week and we're dragging. So we moved it up to Tuesday last year. Seemed to work fairly well. I will suggest also that we put it at 4 to 6, under the premise that it was going to allow citizens to attend. Honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a citizen walk in at 5 o'clock after work to catch the last hour of the budget meeting.
So do we need to do it from 6 to 8?
No, I was thinking more of,
2 to 4.
9 to 11, or it really doesn't have to be after hours. Like the Jackson County, they do theirs in the morning. That's just part of their day responsibility, so it's kind of you guys.
The other side was who we were trying to recruit for budget committee, so if you
this
wanted
is
a private
also.
Sector person, they're not having to give up. If they work on 9 to 5, they're not having to give up more than an hour.
True.
In their afternoon a couple of times. So that's correct. Another consideration, but
correct.
I'm open to whatever. Arthur's right. Historically, we don't get people just coming in at 5 o'clock because they just got off work and they can't wait to get to a budget meeting. But
I'm skipping dinner to be here.
You guys
no.
You guys are, can do it.
It doesn't matter where you put it. Somebody is not going to be able to get here. But
this is true.
You know, one of the feedbacks that I got from the state of the county was, if why 4 to 6? It should have been 6 to 8. But then if you put it at 6 to 8, the people said, why'd you go 4 to 6? Because I want to spend the evening at home. You know, it's just
you can't win. You're right.
I don't think you can win. Let's think about it.
Six o'clock is a standard general evening meeting time.
You don't have to say right now.
Yeah,
I just think if you want to move the budget meeting.
I think it's more important for the recruiting for budget.
Yeah,
committee members. What works for them?
When you have your budget committee members in place, why don't we see what their time availability is?
Right. That might be a good idea.
Right.
We may be able to do 9 a.m. We may not be able to do until.
There's just one opening right now, and so I do have two of the three, other than you three. So I do have two of the three that are going to come back, so I can check with them.
Okay.
See if they have any druthers or preferences. Okay.
Okay. I think that's courtesy.
Okay, I will do that.
And then we'll get back to you on whether May 8th, 1st, 8th, and 15th
right.
works. Okay.
Right.
And it may. I don't know the exact dates. It's over a weekend, I know that. So
yeah.
It may be okay.
Okay, so the second memo that I have here is what actually goes out also to the departments. I gave you one. Okay. So it's pretty much a standard issue for what I've done for many years. Yeah, pretty much boilerplate. The budget goals approved by the board have been the same for a number of years. They was tweaked a little bit last year, I believe. We took out the specific reference to technology because there were other ways to improve efficiencies, not just through technology. So I think we took out that word, but otherwise we have kept the same general goals for a number of years. I think the boards, the departments are used to that. They've got their thinking along those lines to create efficiencies, to reach out to citizens, to have a sustainable plan. And then the budget directives are more specific, you know, when you have to turn these in. Your budgets are based on your mandated services or your dedicated revenues. So pretty standard things that we've been doing for a number of years now. You know, I'll get the insurance information to you and the rates to you by this point in time. So I'd like to be able to finalize this and get it out to the departments as soon as possible.
When do we have a conversation about a biennial budget?
I sent out an email and included you folks earlier this week. So far I've received half a dozen responses the last couple of days. Probably four of them have been neutral or not inclined. Two of them have been, yeah, this would work well with me because I've, you know, I'm in line with the state budget and I get my funding from the state, so this would work well. So that's what I've got back so far.
The more I think about it, I'm getting to be 100% agnostic. I don't have, it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
And so you guys are just going to need to, you know, do those evaluations. It could be real positive or it could be, it's not going to be, I don't see a
it's
negative.
It's never going to be 100% on either way.
I don't see a huge negative with it, but it's got a lot of work associated with trying to budget for 2 years, and that's the biggest negative for me. That
it's a big lift, and there needs to be some real solid benefits to go through that process.
And I'm not so sure. Really,
I think some of the benefits could be achieved if the board decided, hey, we're going to go through it, establish a 5-year, 10-year long-term plan for each department. That's going to take a while. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into that if that's going to be a true 5-year, 10-year plan that we're going to measure ourselves against on an annual basis and maintain that on a moving forward. So that's not something that you would do in a matter of a week or two. It's something that would, I think, would take
but
a little more time.
But it doesn't fall under the same budget law restrictions,
right,
and some
correct
other stuff. You know, it needs to look good and be right, but it's free of all of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Of all those encumbrances,
so.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards, we need to do that. We need to do the long-term plan.
I think so,
yep.
Yeah.
But to the degree it needs to be done and codified in a 2-year budget, I'm not so sure that's the right avenue. I like the idea that we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Right. I just think that there's huge public PR benefit in fiscal stuff just talking about it.
Yeah.
So.
And we got that in the paper, too.
Yeah.
I will point out, for that, I'll be getting back to the board on the biennial budget and what some of the comments were. I'll try to codify them, synthesize them, consolidate them. I do have a couple of placeholders here that I want to bring to your attention. The internal service fee, the current percentage, this is number 7 on the list, the current percentage in this current year is 7.5%. That seems to be covering our costs. Of course, an internal service fund, by definition, is only on a cost reimbursement basis. It's just supposed to cover its cost, internal service. 7.5% seems to be doing that fine, depending on what the board would like to see as far as a administrative type position that might be added to the internal service fund, you know, to work with the board on either project management or however you want to structure that. If that were the case, then you might consider increasing that from 7.5 up to 8%. So I put a placeholder of 8% in there. 8%, 0.5% under current budgets represent about $200,000. So that's what we'd be adding to the income to the internal service fund, which would then be offset by the, you know, salary and cost of another position, if that's what you guys were thinking of.
So 1% equals 100,000.
Half a percent equals 200,000. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So.
Great.
One
thanks.
Would be the. Yeah.
4. Appreciate it. Jeez.
But I think the other question, like a public information officer or something else that serves more than one department.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Or. We've talked about that before.
The ongoing social media and stuff like that. So.
And that, you know, webmaster or something, mm-hmm. who, you know.
And that's something that the subcommittee for the webpage. That John would be making a recommendation on.
Okay.
Is it better to upgrade and then keep it going internally or actually have a webmaster? So those are recommendations that are going to come out.
I think, and to put it this way too, that under current ISF, we probably have enough of a fund balance from the way things are looking rolling forward to where if that decision were made July, say we adopted 7.5%, maintained it, da-da, I think we have enough of a carryover balance where we could probably maintain that position, pay for that position without having to go back after the fact and tell everybody, oh, in your budget you have to up it to 8%. I don't think we'd have to do that, even if we made that decision late in the game.
That part's already covered by...
By fund balance, yeah. Because we're trying to maintain a reasonable fund balance rolling forward.
We should decide not to retroactively adjust ISFs.
I agree completely
it,
on that.
It's
don't
set.
Don't retroact. Yeah, this no. needs to be set. It's currently at 7.5. So
to take effect in July.
July 1. Yeah.
Well, I think what would influence our decision on whether or not we adjust it is where the fund balance is projected to be
mm-hmm.
at the end of this year. If you're in that carryover expectation,
yeah.
will give us the breadth of, well, these are the three things that can come out of that, and you can pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no margin of error at 7.5, which is not okay.
I like Commissioner Morgan's idea of somebody to take care of the web page and social media and stuff, because we saw the value in that in our state of the county,
yeah.
That was well received by a lot of people. We got an awful lot of people in there because of that.
We're finding a lot of emails that you guys are receiving and having to field, that any question anybody has that comes through any webpage that we're related to are coming through our office. And so a lot of that too is, you know, just, okay, where do those direct? And there's a way to format the webpage that if a question comes in the sheriff's office, we can direct it to the sheriff's office. And but our current in-the-box system doesn't account for that. But it's a 10-year-old software. So there's upgrades that have happened that we can accommodate some of that. But yes, just having it on the goal list.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
So the rate for square foot is also in there, our facilities rate.
Yeah.
And previous boards have had it on a multi-year trajectory. We've held it very low, and we've never had an ISF as low as we've had it here this year, as long as I've been here. So there's capacity, I would say, within the ISF to make, you know, reasonable adjustments that benefit everybody that are, you know, IT related. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. 8% sounds fine, even the initial. And
well, I think all departments are going to use a web page. That's what parks should do.
Yeah. But the other one is that rate. And so previous boards have got it on a trajectory of going to 70 cents a square foot this year. And so...
Is that going to be sufficient?
It is. It's 65 right now. So this is the largest jump that we've ever had. When I came into office, we were at 60, and we have held it there for years.
Yeah.
We've held it there because Ryan's been doing a bunch of energy efficiency elements, and we cut the depreciation rate.
Yes, we did.
In half. For maybe 2 years. We can't do that anymore. And we're gonna be working on part of our budget goals. Our goals is to set formulaic elements of how we want to have minimum fund balances achieved. And Arthur just came up with a philosophy on something.
General fund.
General fund balance.
General fund, yes.
Which I was very happy about, because I've struggled about what is that number since I took office. When I took office, it was 1.9 was our projected ending fund balance out of a $110 million budget, which is unacceptable in my mind. We've been working at getting up to probably closer to six.
Yeah, we didn't want
But I picked that number out of thin air. There's no formulaic. He's got a formula that is definitely good, and it's reflected
defendable.
It's reflected throughout other counties and what they have. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it makes a lot of sense. It's a higher number than six, but it's defensible.
So one
it's
of the things that,
totally.
I don't know where the time frame for a master facilities plan is, but for me, it's not just taking a look at our facilities of where we're at, but, you know, at some point some maintenance costs and some bigger levels may be coming soon. We have an older inventory of buildings and such. And we're looking at potentially with the Dimmick building. I mean, if we get an offer we can't refuse, and we have all these departments we need to move, where are we moving them to? What would those costs be? Or even having the rate at a set that we can do. We have this other side of this justice building that is being underutilized and underfunded. And really, I wish that plan could direct that fee, because I want to make sure that fee is enough. I know we try to keep it down.
And it isn't.
We do.
I can tell you it isn't right now.
Yes,
it isn't there to accommodate that.
But
so.
But do you take that big leap all at once, or do you do say 5 cents this year and five next year?
I don't think 10 cents would break the bank.
Well, I was looking at some of our, for example, out on Williams Highway. I was looking at, they had a triple net. And I believe it was running around $1.75 per square foot.
That's
for some storefront out on the Williams Highway. It could have been the Guild. I was looking at the, I forget what realtor was. But I mean, it's a big.
What's that?
City charge is like a dollar.
I don't know.
It's around a dollar.
Yeah, 6.65 cents, 7 cent. That is a killer deal. And we're paying utilities and maintenance and custodial and landscaping.
What would 85 cents look like?
Yeah.
For meeting our needs. But part of this is having a plan.
So capturing,
that it's directing.
You know, Ryan's costs are what they are, and we know what those are. Those are covered by, you know, at the current service level. But if you were looking at doing 85 cents, I would advocate that you would capture that delta into depreciation to accommodate the long-term facilities plans that we all want to do. At the same time, I'm not really stoked about the clerk's department being assessed 85 cents to go help pay for removing
Dimmick
and planning. That seems like a general fund allocation. Clerks shouldn't be negatively impacted or programs that have nothing to do with that. So it's a philosophy that we have to get our heads around and how we apply it and it being fair and equitable and where that money's coming from. So,
but also that's why I think a plan should drive it.
Right.
Now the nickel increase is really about what Ryan's been spending out of the building reserve fund. That nickel would fund that. He's been spending more than what he's been putting in there. So if we increased from 65 to 70,
well, we've
and
been spending.
Sent that, yeah.
let's not put the onus on Ryan. We've
yeah.
been spending
but,
more than what
so that's
so that's why 5 is not enough, because that's status quo.
That keeps him spending and maintaining
even, yeah, right.
what's been spending. But remember that we're still on an annual budget too, so we have time through the year once we get our master to say this is what it's going to look like. And then also then that gives folks like corrections and so on time to build that into their budget, to build that into their request back to the state. So I think I would be moderate now and then.
Yeah, I think it'd be really tough to start looking at charging parks 85 cents a square foot for a facility that hasn't improved much, you know, isn't costing much, hasn't cost anything for 20 years. So let's have a plan.
Well, the bigger question is look at fairgrounds.
Tell them where they're going to go.
It's pretty humble out there.
And then we chart. This is what we're going to, that's what I told them. Well, because they were not going to be here at the end of my first year. We were going to shut parks down. So they needed to get into black, which they are. So I think your facilities idea to guide the long-term rate, but my
for now, start here, work on the plan, and then go from there.
Right, we'd have a plan to present to say that we're going to go up that additional 15 cents. This is what you're going to get for that. I think that's better off.
So the insurance rate is set. That's formulaic. The square footage rate, we are determining that, and I think I hear 70 cents is where we should come in for this next year.
Reasonable.
And
if that covers what we're expending.
Mm-hmm. Bring this up to even.
And he, mm-hmm. you know, but the concern is there has been a greater demand on his department.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about the property management and facilities kind of going together as a working in cohesion together as a
eventually,
potential.
Eventually, as soon as the project list on property management get bought down, then you can.
I've got it. And I'll just throw this out there. In business, you never ended in zero. It was never even money. If you said, okay, we want 73 cents, it's not 75, but it's 73. It adds the aspect, it gives the appearance that you've really thought it out exactly how much you need. You're not just throwing it at nickels. That you 73 cents means that that's what you need.
But that's my only question with the 5 cents. If he's going under by that amount and there's a greater demand on his department, the other question is,
he's going under by not capturing depreciation or facilities reserve.
Okay, and we're changing that piece as well?
It is included.
Okay.
That's what we're changing. His facilities reserve has been heavily
depleted
this last year by opening the juvenile development and the 400, the project at the jail and all of these other, the roof at the, there has been some pretty major projects. We don't have a lot of those major projects in the queue for next year.
So it can be chance to catch
up. The following year, when the facilities thing comes up and we're transferring stuff, that's going to be a draw. So I don't want to speak against it, but there has been an expectation that it's going to go to 70. But you said, and I think you're right, public health is the one that it's going to affect the most, that I would say, that doesn't have the capacity to pay. And every dime that we ask them to pay is a general fund dime. I think everybody else can afford something more than 70 cents, but you just got to be cautious and think about all of the other different options, externalities that happen as a result of that. So you're not too far off if you did pick 70 and you made adjustments the following year. And so, but there's.
So let's pick 72.
And
then back off,
I'm just saying,
people complain.
72, 73, and then you can go up another nickel to 78. In a year, and it still looks like you're thinking about it.
No, I do want it to be though that we're meeting the needs of what are
all the time.
Well, and we're
we'll pick
the 2.5 current. We dropped depreciation to 2.5 cents, so the nickel is basically doubling that 2.5 cents, and we've been spending about double what we've been putting in there. So there is some logic behind that nickel of saying that's really what, for depreciation, you know, what gets transferred out of his operating fund into his building reserve depreciation fund. That has been that nickel. There is some logic behind it, so.
I've seen that look before. Okay.
Anything else that we can decide today that would be helpful?
The other thing that I'm going to point out, I have scheduled a placeholder in here. We've been sending $2.5 million from general fund to the public safety fund. I'm recommending we maintain that we keep that $2.5 million. I think they're going to have enough rollover. This is public safety. This is patrol, DA, and the shelter. The general court and field piece of shelter. We're still
law enforcement.
Law enforcement fund, which I have that in my notes to change that title. So. The law enforcement fund, that's fund 12, but that's the patrol as well as civil and all records and all the other
your
associated.
Salary next year depends on
the DA and then the court and field piece of the shelter. So we're still supporting them through general fund. They'll have adequate funds to cover that with continuing at $2.5 million.
I had a conversation today with Rob Ovett and we only talked for a couple of minutes, and I'll talk to him later on this evening, but he says he's got something that he thinks might fly that might give us a couple million dollars. He says, I know it's a bone, but, you know, it's nothing anywhere what we need, but he's, you know, didn't go into details. He says, I'll call you later and let you know. He says, it's probably our only hope of any money out of this legislature. So.
Wow.
So item number 4 is really important for us in this discussion as well, is that we only, is it number 4? Only
depends
proven
on
revenue streams.
Secure exactly.
Schools.
Yes, good idea.
Is not
exactly.
Proven.
You can't bet on.
Are pilt.
No.
We speculate on
can't
shared
on,
seat
you
number.
Can't bet on
yes.
anything anymore.
No. So it's.
And we require the departments to give us the details of where that money's coming from, who's sending it to us, how much, what's it for.
And when.
Yeah, and when.
And when does the check come out?
So those are the revenue details we're asking for. We are continuing, if you look at item number 3, we are continuing to say to the departments, it has to be mandatory service or what your dedicated revenues can support. That's what your budget is built on. That's a variation of zero-based budgeting or budgeting for outcomes or priority-based budgeting, a lot of words that mean the same thing. We're telling them it's mandated services, not what you'd like to do or nice to have, but what does the ORS or your enabling legislation tell you must do.
So PILT's going to stay the same. Shared receipts are going to stay the same. The volume's less.
With the difference of
the value's more.
Volume's less, value's more, but also stay the same with the adjustments because of the ONC advocacy. That not the sequestered amounts,
it's
right?
Still going to be sequestered, and
okay.
We're going to get it back. But I would say that the shared receipt number, let's have that $150,000 come in afterwards.
Okay.
Okay.
And you could probably put in the budget 2.3, which we got this last year, 2.2, 2.3. Well, it was definitely over 2.3 because there was $150,000. That came in.
But that was from the year before, so we're not expect. Yeah, 2 years before,
right.
And they just got it to us, so we're not, I don't think we can expect that same level this year.
Should you put 2 in, and if you get 2.3, you're...
We've been putting 2 in. It's not going to drop below the 2.3 this next year. The volume is marginally less. The values that they're getting are more because of the
value. Have you talked to Dave the last 24 hours?
No.
Because of all the, he's got a concern for the value and because of all the timber that's gonna hit the market, who bought who out and so on and so forth,
sure.
That they're gonna cut, they're all, everybody that bought somebody else out is saying I'm gonna cut it.
Hmm.
Because the value's so high right now, which
so he's
afraid is gonna drive the price down a little
bit. Put up two separate volume sales,
right.
Break up his sales by 2 weeks.
Right.
And I endorse that.
Yeah,
that's
because
wise.
If you sell one and you find out that you didn't get what you thought you were going to get, you don't need to sell that second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but if he gets that first one out right away, we're still on the upside.
If you are first to market, you're going to get that high price. But when they flood the market,
I'm going to be at that meeting next Tuesday,
okay.
Alan Ford really helped set, well, you guys were there. I think that that was helpful, giving context to the projected future. So these little exchanges that we have between 20 and 50,000 acres here mean something, but they don't drive the Northwest Forest Products Market.
So I, like I said, I was just out at Forest Street yesterday,
yeah.
And he said, yeah, there's some changes, and he said, I'm a little nervous.
But he has a...
But he's on it. He's got his thumb on the pulse.
He puts his minimum bids on there, so we won't be giving it away.
No.
Well, and he's... I like his conservatism.
Yeah.
He does a good job.
He does.
He's one of the shining stars.
One of the concerns I have in our budget going forward, and you guys just need to be aware, so there's been a couple of expressions of sub-budgetary items that are just not building and safety. They have a reinvestment fund in their program. I wasn't aware of that, and I don't know how it's delineated, but it's like $45,000, and I'm not sure why or how that's in there. The other one is Animal Control has had $26,000 in their proposed budget to do a reevaluation of their current facility.
Not Animal Control, shelter.
Animal Shelter. I don't remember reading about or hearing about that, but that's not a very, in my opinion, efficient. That's a lot of money to see about their current facility, whether it's serving.
Well, it was going to draft out a plan of the whole property as far as future, based on a master plan of where do we need to go. But
my thought was I want to put it together with what the fair
yep.
was proposing to put in their budget, and then that, and then this, and then that, and you find yourself spending
yep.
$100,000 real quick when we're going to be probably doing it for
yep.
a fraction of that.
And I took to heart what you said today about the fact that, you know, the animal shelter probably at some point in time should move away from the airport. So, you know, I think that 26 million or 26,000 was to say, how do we utilize that
26
footprint?
We're going to patrol.
If the whole thing's yeah. going to go up to sell it, don't spend the 26,000.
That's what I'm worried about. This is
yeah.
just an example. I don't want to get too sidetracked with that. But that people are putting things in their budgets and they're not clearly delineating where they're going for, and they're not being looked at from the holistic.
Can I put a bigger number on your radar? So.
Do I want a bigger number? I thought those were big enough.
Well, out of the last animal shelter levy, they had put aside about, what, $500,000 towards...
Carryover, yeah.
They've built up that fund. What the mm-hmm. intent is, they're going to need a new shelter. That they're not currently, you know, towards building replacement. And so that question is, so one of the choices we made, partially because we knew the revenues coming in were going to be a little greater than we... But the recommendation is we needed an animal... ACO supervisor plus mm-hmm. three dedicated ACOs.
Yeah.
The need was great enough. So what you heard today in the presentation was there's not more that they can put towards that building fund. But again, that was a decision made by a previous director, a previous animal shelter advisory crew to be building towards that fund. And it may or may not be the best work of that fund.
Is it legally permissible to build a building out of an operations levy?
I think the ballot measure said.
It was built into the ballot language.
Yeah.
Okay.
The ballot language had it, so that was my concern as well. But,
yeah.
You know.
Usually operational levies are.
For operations.
Yeah.
Not capital. But the ballot language had that in there.
But, you know, one of the things that was kind of a squash the marijuana initiative is the language of. I was hearing that our sheriff was saying we're going to build a multi-million-dollar facility if this money comes through. What? You know, how is this something that we're putting before patrol, before detectives, before anything else?
We've got a long ways to go before.
But
we
that was being
facility.
Said. That's going to
yeah.
be first next year, and I think that's an issue that's not a part of a plan. That's not a part of a discussion, and it
we
shouldn't
got
be.
We've got a long ways to go before.
But that's been publicly said. And so that's a concern.
You mentioned the supervisor. I'm looking on his current staffing, and he only shows two animal control officers in here, but he already has a supervisor, Dana.
Well, Dana was an ACO.
And that, but he said got her down as a Dana.
He is now the supervisor.
Okay.
And they just hired a second one, and they've got to get a third one. So Dana went from ACO to lead or supervisor.
And then there's Marcy.
Correct.
Who is an animal control officer.
They've hired now a second one.
And then they need two more. They've said, so they actually just have one vacancy.
Correct.
As an ACO.
Correct.
that they've got to use, I think you mentioned a supervisory position, but they've already got that, he says, according to the chart here, so.
Yes.
But it's new because it's in broken, okay, got it.
So there will be some discussions with your department managers, and I think animal control versus animal shelter is gonna be one of those, how much of the operating levy coming in will be allocated to each one, each piece that's in its own separate fund, Fund 26, Animal Shelter Fund, but you've got both programs running out of that one fund. Dog licenses go in there, and the operating levy revenues go in there.
But my shelter is operating at almost budget, or over budget. The animal control is operating under budget, but the sheriff's office is talking about a whole rebranding process, which is gonna cost, which if my shelter's not running on budget, what's the prioritization?
And that's the discussion.
You find yourself underwater in the whole program before you know it.
That's the discussion. And we will have a balanced budget, but how much is allocated to each, that's the discussion.
Correct.
For payroll and for personnel, I wanna point out on number five, that if we don't have a position filled, if there's an empty position, we make the departments justify why that position needs to stay in their budget. So just to let you know, that's how that process works.
Is there a shelf life? In other words, they've got that position.
Right.
They've had it for 4 years and then
we don't let them have it for 4 years.
Okay, because they've already been operating without it and demonstrated they don't need it, so
except for where it's, you know, where they're just transitioning. Someone quit yesterday, they haven't filled it yet, but they're in process of filling it. But if we get to this point in time and see that they've had a position open all year, then you need to justify why that position is
needs to stay.
Okay. Yeah. So that's number five. Insurance and fleet number six, ISF number seven, we talked about that. Number eight, they just need to itemize their capital purchases, anything over 5,000. Number nine, the five-year projection for operations and capital purchases. I added the word operations. They have to have capital purchases for 5 years. That's a charter requirement. We talked about a long-term plan and a five-year plan. I put it in here just to see, as a placeholder, to see if the board was wanting to start moving that discussion forward. Or this can be a quick and dirty. It may not be, you know, a full-fledged 5-year, 10-year operating plan, but it might be a good starting point, a quick and dirty of saying, what are you guys thinking 5 years from now?
There isn't a capacity in any program to do more than a one-pager on their five-year plan.
Yeah, one-pager.
But that's what I have wanted for a while.
Ten-year plans, operational-wise, is hard to do in 10 years.
10 years is impossible.
So to give you a heads up, in our email that went out, which was the liaison list email, there was no deadline given for the budget, and there was no request for a one-year, five-year, 10-year.
Okay. So
I separately emailed my folks and asked for it, and my only thing with public health is RFP or not RFP.
Yeah,
so we're kind of looking at short and long term.
Yeah.
Juvenile did 1-5-10. So it's kind of one of those things that, but we did not ask for a deadline. We did not ask for delineation of those.
So let's do that tomorrow. By tomorrow, we have to have an email that goes out that says what you said.
So it's consistent with what you said. I
don't need a 10-year plan. Even juvenile can't do a 10-year plan.
No, but I refer to it as like a dream list. What is on the horizon of what you would like to have? And they had an off-site residential program or something that was...
That's great. That's cool. I like that. Okay.
Okay.
So do you think, as a placeholder, you want me to leave a five-year projection for operations in this instructions, or do you think that'll be part of your own...
It's a projection, so you really can't hold them to it, but it gets them thinking.
Okay.
I think the exercise gets them thinking.
The other thing I think we need to address is what I was talking about. So if you need specific delineation about proposed projects or whatever, you know what my concern is, Arthur.
Correct.
Put something. I want something in there that says that there's a call out when you're going to do something like this.
Yeah.
That you're in operations, and I don't care if it's the same threshold.
We do that for capital projects. I haven't done that for your internal and your operational, which your $26,000 to do a facility study would be an operating cost. It wouldn't be a capital. It'd be within your contract budget, you know.
Yeah.
So that.
Maybe there is a threshold. Maybe we just talk about it a little bit and figure out what it needs to look like. But comes back to my rule number one. I don't want to be surprised.
Surprised on anything, yeah.
So you don't have to solve it now. Just know that.
Then you've talked about 10, right?
10, yes, 10 for the $2.5 million. You know, unless somebody has other thoughts. As you know, we can always do supplemental. So if we go through into the year and the board feels that something needs to change, we can do that. You know, through the supplemental process.
The sheriff's been doing a great job of keeping under budget.
Right.
And,
correct.
You know, his big cost might come in overtime and when he has all these staff. Or I don't know. I think 2.5 is where we should probably stay conservatively. Yeah. Work on our minimum general fund balance and have that discretion for a mid-year if there is someone within law enforcement that needs more. If we obligate everything that's in capacity, then there's nothing left to shore up.
Yes.
If juvenile
no
somehow
wiggle.
Incurs additional cost or
no wiggle room at all.
No wiggle room. So
yeah, this okay. should give us the a little bit of
and
breathing
room.
And
I think we put it in that trifold that we were going to maintain the current level
mm-hmm.
of general fund appropriation
yep.
to law enforcement.
2.5.
I think you're
yeah.
right.
So
okay,
I think you're right.
That's the what we wrote the levy on, and it should work.
That's very important to keep with what we were said in the levy.
Yeah.
Very important.
So that's what I have. Yeah, I'm good with what you folks told me, so I'll be sending this out tomorrow.
So one other thing I'd like to bring up is originally the 3% was one that we had, the previous board had said the 3% marijuana money would be able to go through LADBC for recommendations. They have a law enforcement member on there. They have, and what we're seeing is that prevention dollars are an eighth of the cost of treatment dollars down the line. With everything going on in the schools, there were educators and counselors on that trip with me last week, and what the school districts are saying that they're dealing with, really there is a need to be investing back into our partnerships, and this and directly impacts workforce, and who's coming out of the schools and how it's coming and how do we recruit companies. We received the $206,000 initially. We dedicated, you know, we decided the three positions we were looking at. Since received the $170,000, it's just sitting there as a placeholder to support those positions.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff publicly said last week he's not filling the SRO until maybe 2019. I'm not sure why.
Let's have that conversation too.
We need to have it. Yes.
Yeah.
But to me, the fact that there's $376,000 that would cover those three positions for now, I would like us to support what was previously said to LADPC that they could potentially make a recommendation on the $60,000. And so since the 17% from the state can cover the three positions, that we honor what was said before with the 3%.
Can you write this, can you work with Arthur on getting a like a Gantt chart of expected revenues, where we're at right now, and then I don't want to just tell them they have $60,000 if really that's going to grow over time,
mm-hmm.
or that we shore it up if they need $100,000 or $20,000. Really defining what the scope of the available money is. If the sheriff says, no, I'm not going to do that until 19, then there's another blah, blah, blah.
Well, my statement on that is...
He's got a pretty good sized reserve, and then to say... He's got
it doesn't make sense.
You know, he says...
That's
why
we need to have a conversation
with
him.
I'm this far ahead.
Does the SRO
under
have
budget.
To be a sheriff? I mean, who says it has to go through the sheriff? Why don't we...
So this
we
is
can hire an SRO, or we can say schools... We'll give you the money you hire, your own SRO.
Could they?
So, hold on.
School resource officer.
We heard from Jean Goodwin today that they've checked with the DA and county legal that it has to be a certified officer.
Oh.
But you had made a recommendation. Could they Skype the officer? And it could simply be a CAD report. It does not have to be.
Well, let's have that discussion.
So we probably need to have Jim in here,
okay.
It's, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But there's two pools, and I'd like us to continue to look at that. We have the ability to look at things in a bigger way that spending a little more up front in the prevention end will save us money in the end.
LADPC, okay. So I'll work with you.
First meeting to find out how much we can say is available to
LADPC.
LADPC to apply for. That's what I would like to say. Where's the money going right now? What's available for them to apply for? And
yeah.
And then a Gantt chart that I'm going to follow. Okay.
Yeah, makes sense.
Helpful.
Okay. Arthur, are you done anything else for Arthur? got a page.
I've got what I need for the budget. Do we want to talk about the Ivy piece or no?
Yeah, I've got to go.
Oh, yeah, you have a 3, and I have a 3:30.
And I just have, all I have is one more deal for Nate on this, under other.
What I'm going to tell Kate, who's the Ivy CDO implementer on these things, is that, you know, so far, this looks good. What your group has come up with.
You have one of those, Arthur?
I've got another one.
I've got one, you got one.
And in order to fulfill these things, you, you need to submit for reimbursement to finance. We're going to have Julie do it, but all roads lead to finance anyway, so.
Before we go down the broadband path, I know it's an important thing, but there's a lot of things going on at the national level right now that before we dedicate money for broadband, I suggest we wait and see what comes out of our congressional, because there's the TV white noise, there's the broadband and rural broadband initiative. There may be some federal legislation coming through that supports this. And specifically when I'm there with the technology and telecommunications technology, that portion I would recommend we wait on.
I think they would be receptive to that.
And also I think, does Business Oregon have some funds they can go toward broadband?
There's definitely, it's a subject matter right now. So for us to put the money there, let's wait on it. I'm not saying spend it, but let's just wait in case it's needed as a matching grant or something else.
Right, right.
No, I think that's
a good idea. That's a good idea.
Okay, I will do that. In the meantime, I think I'll ask for more meat around this proposal on the broadband, and so that we can have like earmarked areas for where those federal potential legislative things can go. And there may be things that isn't going to be covered. Cameron, I'm sure, is pretty dialed in on what's probably happening, and you can say, well, you can do these things ahead of time.
I didn't mean to cut you off. My apologies. My only concern, there's four companies out in Ivy that are vying for getting broadband offered. We have Hunter in our areas going into the rural areas. I just want to make sure, are we looking holistically? Are we just supporting one business? Are we, you know, kind of looking at, and with some of the other things, we were teasing about the white noise, that they're going to be putting some item. Microsoft wants to get into something, or they put a device on telephone poles and it gives you, you know, 750 feet in every direction. I'm like, great, you're going to see all these people just sitting behind telephone poles with access, but it would go everywhere, you know. And so there's some things happening with technology that we should see what's going on this year first.
Wait and see is
Okay,
good idea.
All right. Okay. This is good progress. Sorry we didn't talk more about our goals.
I can email out my, I had a list of just kind of a starting point, discussion point, and I had the other two. I can email to them so we can kind of goals. My goals for this year, my department's.
Well, let's talk about it next Tuesday. We don't have anything.
Can I do a real quick one in other?
Yeah.
This is not item 3. Other Nate would like to have plaques made for the folks who saved Steve's life. I'd like to formally recognize the officers of P.O. Dan Schramm, P.O. Jesse
Meinertz,
and a citizen, Kim Kasaya, who saved the life of our P.O. Steve Works. If there's any employee and citizen award available from the board, I can advocate for a request.
So there may be some life-saving things through AMR and the fire and the EMS board. I absolutely want to recognize them, but there may be a path for that already. So let me get some feedback for you.
You want to look into that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I had.
Endorse whatever you guys want. That's great.
Okay.
That's a huge deal.
And with that, if there's nothing else, we're adjourned at 3:04.
Wait. I'm sorry.
Beg your pardon?
I'm sorry. Before we adjourn, today was the deadline for a non-binding question of the board. I just wanted to make sure that there isn't anything. I have nothing.
I don't have one either.
I think let's let this one go.
Okay.
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 With that, we are adjourned at 3:04. Thank you.
There was one more.